An 11-year-old facing charges after a bomb threat at a middle school.
Keeping your drinking water safe, Ohio steps up to get rid of forever chemicals.
And New Heights, new problems. The search for Jason Kelce's Super Bowl ring.
5 on 5 and 5, Thursday, April 18th. Kelly and Steven here with you on what is going to be a beautiful Thursday. Of course, we have things that will change it around a little bit, but that's April for you.
And also, like, almost not a today problem.
Right.
It's kind of a tomorrow problem, overnight problem.
We can live in the present.
Yes. So that cold front moves in late tonight. It brings a threat for storms overnight into early Friday morning. Some could have strong winds. The rains will start after midnight. Gets out of here about sunrise Friday. Warm air also leaving, which is not what anyone wants to hear ahead of the weekend. But still, I mean, for April, this is not bad at all. These 80s have been a little wild. So we're back into the 60s for Friday, 40s, 50s for most of the weekend. But I think still sunny, which will be nice if you're heading to Kings Island. Right. You might not be in your shorts and your tank top, but that weather is coming. Actually enjoy it while you can stand in line and not be uncomfortable.
Yeah, the adrenaline will keep you warm.
And the ice cream is just good. Say, will cool you down. That's not what
you're
already
cool, yeah, but exactly. Yeah, you'll be enjoying it.
Yeah, I regretted it as soon as I started. Thanks, Steven.
But you know what? You went on that adventure and you tried to get there. You almost did.
My brain's not working fast enough.
We can almost there. All right, let's jump into our headlines. 5 on 5 in 5. First up, we are going to West Claremont, something we do not want to hear about. A threat was made by an 11-year-old at West Claremont Middle School, and it forced them into a lockdown Wednesday morning. Now, deputies say the sixth grader claimed to have found a note in the bathroom that included threats to shoot the school and contained information about a bomb somewhere inside the school. The student, who came forward, later admitted he was behind it all. He's now charged with one count of inducing panic. Parents of West Claremont middle schoolers were not happy with what happened, but they were very happy that the school is in a place to handle that situation. The sixth grader was taken to the Claremont County Juvenile Detention Center and has been suspended by the school, again, charged with one count of inducing panic. Next up, Amber Alerts. We hate when they go off, but we love that they do go off so we can at least be of assistance. But now the question is, are we getting them properly at the right distances away from where they are located?
Right. And a lot more conversation has been had about this because it used to just be a statewide thing. There was one in Ohio, even out east, we still got the alert living in the state of Ohio. They are trying to make them more effective locally, but then there's the concern for, okay, what if that person leaves the immediate area, as we saw with a situation here, or in the region. So a meeting to discuss and review how Amber Alerts are issued throughout Ohio is happening today. Recently, many of you have shared concerns about why you may not get an alert after an abduction that doesn't seem like it's that far away. Now, several agencies from across the state make up the Amber Alert Advisory Committee. It is one of the most important tools we have when a child is abducted and in danger. But it's also a system that has raised concerns. Several Amber Alerts already issued this year in Ohio, and there are criteria. Feels like we go through this every time there is an Amber Alert issued of, like, why wasn't one? Why did it take so long? So 4 things have to happen for an alert to be issued. Police need to confirm the child is younger 18. The abduction must pose a credible threat of immediate danger. And police must have enough descriptive information about the child, the suspect, and the abduction circumstances to help find the child. Just saying there's a missing 6-year-old, unfortunately, doesn't help people locate said missing 6-year-old. So they like some details. Police also need to determine that the child is not a runaway or a family abduction without the immediate danger threat. You'll often see that listed if there is a non-custodial parent or guardian. They will list that. So once those four factors happen, the electronic alert is sent. During today's Amber Alert Committee meeting in Columbus, we hope to learn exactly how the regional alerts are determined. We're also hoping to get further insight on the process and the timeline for police determining Amber Alert criteria. I think a lot of people would like to see that streamlined so that as soon as something happens, they can get through those checkpoints and then get that out as quickly as possible.
Exactly. And then it makes you wonder if will there be a mileage or hours driven type deal.
Well, we had the situation out of Columbus, yeah, and then she was found in Cleveland. So it's, you know, that alert didn't go out in Cleveland because it was regionalized to the Columbus area. Would that have helped? Doesn't sound like that would have been the case, but at least people could have been on the alert.
Exactly. So we are sending a team up to Columbus to be all over that story. So be on the lookout on WLWT.com and in our evening shows for what may come out of Columbus. Next up, we're going to Whitewater Township. A man is in jail after a deadly shooting. 24-year-old Cole Hornsby is charged with murdering his neighbor, Theodore Block, just off Kilby Road. Police say Block shot him at least five times. In court, prosecutors revealed Hornsby is not legally allowed to have a gun because of a previous record in Indiana.
We'd asked the court to consider that Mr. Hornsby may have a significant out-of-county record he's showing an Indiana address.
And the defendant was found at the scene standing over the body, still in possession of the firearm. Is that correct?
Correct.
Detective?
Correct.
Hornsby's bond was set at $750,000. A grand jury will hear that case coming up next Friday. Our next story, PFAS. Probably just said, wait, what is that? Well, these are forever chemicals. They are in our water. They appear in our bodies. They don't go away. So Ohio's trying to do something about that.
Yes, the name is not great just because I think it's something easily dismissed by people, but it is something important to know about. So there's a new push in Ohio to find out where PFAS, a class of chemical that can linger forever, are concentrated. The goal is to find the source and figure out how to deal with them. Now, there's a sense of urgency because of increased exposure to forever chemicals has been linked to an increase of kidney and liver cancer, among other things. Last week, officials with the Environmental Protection Agency imposed the first ever national limit on forever chemicals in drinking water. It's a move that goes hand in hand with the efforts in Ohio as well.
The real challenge for us is to take this legacy PFAS that is already out there and identify it and then take action to protect people. So Ohio is at the forefront of doing this. We've been at the forefront. As long as I'm governor, we're going to continue to be at the forefront.
Recently, during a stop in Cincinnati, Governor Mike DeWine unveiled a plan to search for forever chemicals in almost 30 rivers statewide. Many of those rivers flow into the Ohio, which supplies drinking water for about 5 million people along its 980-mile path. Also, the waterworks system in Cincinnati is one of the leaders in the country. It's always talked about as far as how well they do, so it's not not shocking that they're part of this conversation.
Yes, and PFAS, I'm going to attempt to say it, perfluoral alkyl substances and polyfluoral alkyl substances. So we go with PFAS.
Better you than me.
Because I'm sure I butchered that, but I tried.
Sounded great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, our final story of the day. We keep talking about the New Heights podcast because something always keeps popping up, whether it's ticket changes, venue changes, the actual event happening, who's showing up, who's not showing up. Well, now something's absolutely missing.
Yeah, something is not showing up, and it's Jason Kelce's Super Bowl ring. So it's missing. He's joked that it's somewhere in a landfill in our area. That does not give you clearance to go to a landfill to search for it.
Not.
I just had to let that linger for a second because I know someone out there is going, but
no.
There's no but. So the podcast was a huge hit. Ton of people had a good time. There was a battle to find Jason's Super Bowl ring in a sock in Skyline Chili. The joke here is he couldn't find his Super Bowl ring for a long time because he had put it in a sock and hid it for safekeeping, but did so to the point where then he couldn't find it. They did eventually find the initial lost ring, but now the game was a play off of that whole scenario, and now the ring is truly missing.
But I legitimately lost my Super Bowl ring in this event. They could not find it. This is Jets Jake searching through the Chili to try and find the sock that had my Super Bowl ring in it. We have still yet to find it.
Long story short, he has put in an insurance claim, or has said he is going to get another one made. Not a problem I think a lot of people could relate to. I don't have a Super Bowl ring to lose.
Funny fact, I don't either.
Okay. Good to know. I knew a lot about your life previous to WLWT.
I'm not a Super Bowl champion.
Okay, good to know. Yeah, so if you find it, I'm sure he'd love it back. I don't think anyone's going to find it, though.
No, and as Kelly mentioned, as I mentioned, just leave it where it is.
Leave it where it is. Yeah, it will go down in lore now.
Yeah.
Cincinnati lore. There's a Super Bowl ring in a landfill in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and if you see the clip, the look on Travis's face as his brother tells him about his lost Super Bowl ring, just disappointment.
And not surprised either.
No, not at all. All right. This is 5 on 5 in 5. That's Kelly. I'm Steven. We'll see you on your Friday.